What do we need to know about hell and the lake of fire? Find out in today's broadcast of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us today. We're in a series called The 10 Most Misunderstood Words in the Bible. We have a book by that same title, and in fact, I'm going to tell you at the end of the broadcast how to get your hands on your own copy. But until then, let's jump right into the discussion with Bob and Sean. Here is Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus Radio. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, my name is Bob Wilkin.
Well, we're going to continue our discussion today about the topic of hell. And what we said last episode is this: there's actually no one place called hell in the Bible. That's the word the King James translators use to cover several different places in the underworld. In the last episode, we talked about how unbelievers and believers before the cross all went to a place called Hades. And there was a kind of like a nice part of Hades called paradise or Abraham's bosom. That's where the believers went. And then there was an unpleasant kind of fiery part of Hades. And that's where unbelievers went. And we saw that in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. We want to talk now today a little bit more about what Hades is like, because unbelievers who die today go to Hades. They go to the unpleasant place. Believers go to a different place. Believers, the moment you die, your spirit goes to be with Jesus in paradise, which is now in something called the third heaven. All right. I know this is complicated. You're going to have to read Bob's book, The 10 Most Misunderstood Words in the Bible, in the chapter on hell. And I just know it's going to enrich your study of the Bible. But today I want to talk a little bit more about what is it like to be in Hades, according to the Bible. And there's a passage in Isaiah that describes this, doesn't it, Bob? Kind of gives us a hint about what it's like.
Yes, in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 9 through 11, I'll go ahead and read it. It says, hell from beneath.
And notice it says hell.
Right, right.
Because that's just what the translators kind of inherited.
It should be Sheol here, but okay. Hell from beneath is excited about you to meet you at your coming. It stirs up the dead for you, all the chief ones of the earth. It has raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. They all shall speak and say to you, have you also become as weak as we? Have you become like us? Your pomp is brought down to Sheol. Now there's the word. And the sound of your stringed instruments, the maggot is spread under you and worms cover you.
You know, I was just rewatching the Shawshank Redemption earlier this week, and there's this scene where the main character gets convicted of murdering his wife, and he gets sent to Shawshank, and as the new prisoners are coming in, all the other prisoners in Shawshank are kind of lined up, and they're just banging against this chain-link fence, and they're calling them fish,
right.
You know, something of fish, and they're mocking the new arrivals.
Right.
And that seems to be what's happening here, isn't it?
That's exactly it, and what it shows, this little glimpse here, is that as surprising as it might seem, people in Sheol or Hades who are unregenerate, who are in torment there, yet they experience some measure of joy in mocking the new fish, the new arrivals, right?
Right.
They enjoy tormenting these new people. So it, and by the way, when it refers to their thrones, most all the commentators take this as figurative. But the point is, it's a very powerful scene. Let me read you what a commentator named Motyer says about these verses. He says, in verses 9 through 15 of Isaiah 14, Isaiah takes us on an imaginative trip to Sheol, the abode of the dead. We hear how Sheol reacts to the arrival of the king, verses 9 and 10. And what a contrast this is in verses 11 to 15 to his ambitions and self-esteem. This is the king of Babylon who has died and gone to Sheol. Imaginative though this is, great Old Testament truths are accurately expressed. First, the dead are alive. In the Bible, death is never termination, but always a change of place from earth to Sheol.
So they're alive in the sense that they still exist.
Yes.
They're alive in the sense that they're still conscious.
Yes.
their bodies are have rotted away or their bodies are buried somewhere, but their spirits, they're still aware of who they are.
Yes.
They're still aware of what they were. There's still some type of recognition of, oh, this guy was that and this guy was that. They have not been annihilated.
No. No, they're there, and of course they mock him about the fact that the maggots are eating your body right now, even as their soul and spirit and some sort of temporary body is in this place called Sheol. But he goes on to say, Motyer does, thus in Sheol there is personal recognition. The king is recognized as he arrives. The existing residents rise from their thrones, not because there are thrones in Sheol, but because they are the same people as once they were on earth.
And so that's so interesting because in the last episode we were looking at Jesus' story of Lazarus and the rich man, and we see the exact same thing there. The rich man still recognizes Lazarus for who he is. The rich man recognizes Abraham. There is personal recognition.
Right.
Right. So there's what a wonderful agreement between the Old Testament and the New Testament in this depiction of Hades.
Absolutely. Motyer goes on to say, but the dead are shades or shadowy ones, verse 9. They're weak, verse 10, because death has sundered body and soul. The soul by itself is but a half-life. I like the way Motyer puts that. The Old Testament awaits the Lord Jesus to meet its implied need for the resurrection of the body. And he finishes by saying, this is an illustration of the progressive, cumulative revelation which runs through the Bible. So what is going on here is not some sort of reference about Lucifer, which comes later on in Isaiah 14, but about the king of Babylon who died. And he's there, and people take a certain measure of joy in mocking him.
So when people say, you know, sometimes people joke, oh, I'd rather go to hell because all my friends are going to be there. There is a grain of truth in that, in the sense that you're going to recognize people.
Right.
You know, you're going to be the same person you were, in some sense, you know, in terms of your personality, as you were on earth, right?
Yes, and there's going to be some sort of fellowship, but it seems to be in the negative.
Right. It's not going to be enhancing. It's mocking. It's tearing down. Anyway, so that's kind of scary, but it's an interesting passage if you've never considered what it actually means. But remember, this is God's word. Every single word of God's word is inspired. There is nothing accidental here. Jesus said the word of God is inspired right down to the tittle. That's just the little line that would be like the difference between a T and an I. So we need to take these passages very, very seriously about what they mean. So we have a picture of Hades where people, there's personal recognition, there's mocking. Well, there's also torment, isn't there, Bob? We see that in Revelation 14, verse 11.
Yes. Now, as we said yesterday, and we considered Luke 16, 19 through 31, in the beginning today, looking at Isaiah 14, there's not much in the Bible about Sheol or Hades. This is the final passage we're going to look at because there are no more. I mean, there's just very little to tell us about what Sheol or Hades is like. But what this passage tells us is it's eternal. Remember, we talked about eternal conscious torment, ECT. We get the eternal from this verse and a few other verses as well. But notice in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 11, and it says, and the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. Now, I believe what this is looking at is, of course, initially, when they die, they go to Hades, and they're going to have torment, and that torment will continue. But since he talks about forever and ever, this is all the ages to come, it anticipates what we're going to see in Revelation 20, which is where the dead from Hades are moved over to the lake of fire.
All right, well, so let's talk about that, because what we've been saying is that even though our English translations use the word hell, that's not accurate because there is no one place called hell in the Bible. That's just an English word that we use to translate different Hebrew and Greek words. And what we've been arguing is that, biblically speaking, unbelievers go to a place called Hades. But that's not where they're going to be forever and ever and ever. After the great, something called the Great White Throne Judgment, Hades gets transferred, and all the people in it get transferred into some place called the Lake of Fire.
Right. First step is the people who were in Hades are resurrected, and they're brought before Jesus at the Great White Throne Judgment. after this judgment, anyone's name not found written in the book of life, which will be everybody who was in Hades, is cast into the lake of fire. Why don't we look at Revelation 20? Could you read 11 through 15?
So Revelation 20, 11 to 15 says this. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened. Notice that. There are books, and then there's a book, which is the book of life. Interesting. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books, plural. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
So the basic point here is this. All who have died and who are unbelievers will be in Hades prior to this point. They will then be resurrected and brought before Jesus at what's called the Great White Throne Judgment. Their works will be examined, and there's two reasons for that. Number one, to show they're not perfect, so they have no basis of entering Jesus' kingdom on the basis of perfection. But secondly, to show what they've reaped. We're told in Scripture, whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. So they're going to have degrees of torment in the lake of fire depending on what's in the books. But their eternal destiny is what's in the book or what's not in the book of life. Since their names won't be found in the book of life, they'll be cast in the lake of fire. So the reason why they're condemned is not because of their works. It's because they never believed in Jesus, because that's how people get in the book of life. When they believe in Jesus, they gain everlasting life, John 3:16, and that means they're in the book of life forever.
Well, we're going to have to explore this topic even further in the next episode, I think. So why don't you stay tuned as we kind of explore this hot topic of hell in the Bible.
All right.
Thank you, Sean and Bob. We're beginning to see why this word, hell, is on the list of the 10 most misunderstood words in the Bible. Speaking of that, on our website, faithalone.org, you can get your own copy of our book, The 10 Most Misunderstood Words in the Bible. Simply go to faithalone.org and head over to our bookstore, where we have that and many other titles. On top of that, we have all kinds of free resources available on the website. Stop by faithalone.org to take a look at our blog articles, our free videos. You can even subscribe to our free print magazine. We'll send it straight to your home. This radio show is even available for free through podcast on our website. You might be interested to know that Grace Evangelical Society, the parent organization of this radio broadcast, hosts Bible conferences a number of times a year. How do you find out about that? Go to the website, faithalone.org. If you've got questions or comments, you can contact us at radio@faithalone.org. Well, it turns out that we've not quite plumbed the depths of the meaning of hell. So after the weekend, we're going to come back and have another episode concerning this difficult topic. I hope you'll join us on Monday. But until then, let's keep grace in focus.